Jesus. That was a beautiful. They did awesome. That was so beautiful. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We're doing something special tonight with the youth. We're going to have a couple different speakers coming through and delivering us what God put on their heart. And I've been given the honor of introducing them, which I'm very proud to do today. First person I get to introduce, I'm going to say her name, and then I'm going to talk about her, Sarah Thompson. And this is an amazing woman of God. And we have the pleasure, me and my wife and my kids, of having her over our house, and she helps with our kids. But more than that, if I want my daughter to grow up to be like anybody, I want her to grow up to be like Sarah Thompson. And she is a woman of God. She's faithful. She's on fire. She's incredible. She's also super annoying sometimes. But I love her with all my heart. She's such a blessing to me and my family. And I'm so thankful that God put her in my family's life and in my kids' life. And with that, I'd like to introduce Sarah Thompson as she comes and shares what God put on her heart.
Praise the Lord, church. That was an interesting introduction. I went up to him before church and said, don't say anything mean, because he always says something mean to me. It's like I'm at their house all the time, right? And he always has some like snarky comment to say to me. So I said, say something nice. And that was nice. I appreciate that. That was good. I'm really nervous. So just bear with me if I talk in circles. I'm sorry. But for the next little bit, I'm going to talk about faith. Faith is something that you got to have, especially if you look in today's time. Our world is going crazy. Like, I watch the news sometimes, and I have to shut it off. Well, I don't watch the news that much, but, like, I'll read it or something. Or at work, it's always on. And I'm like, our world is, like, going crazy. And if there's not a better time where you need to make sure that your life is where it needs to be. Because God is coming, I don't know when he's coming, but he's coming soon. And we need to be ready. No matter what's going on, you have to be ready. So this week's theme is not for sale, as you can see. But in order to be not for sale, you have to have faith. Because if you're going to be not for sale, you have to have a relationship with God. And to have a relationship with God, you got to have faith, right? Okay. Glad we got that out of the way. Sorry, I'm losing my spot. But something that you have to understand is just because we're living for God or we're on fire for God or we're not for sale does not mean that bad things are going to come. You're going to go through things in your life where you're not going to know what to do, or you're going to be so stuck where you're like, where do I go? And it's during those times that you cannot lose sight of what is most important. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And sometimes the worst situations that can happen in your life, you may come up to a situation and you're like, God, I don't even know what to do. But through that situation, it's going to be, I'm not going to say going to be, but it's probably going to be something that is going to shape you and make you the person that God wants you to be. I look at the situation that's going on in my life right now, and many of you probably know, my mom was recently diagnosed with cancer. Doctors say that there's no cure, that the cancer is too far along, that she was only given 2 to 3 years to live. And I look at a situation like this, and there is nothing that can be done except a miracle. And through this, I have faith. Faith in God that he knows what he's doing, that he is going to do a miracle, but not only in my mom's life, but I look at Brother Russell, and he has the same issue. And there's other people in this church who are going through the same health issues, and they need a miracle. But we can't sit around and just wait for a miracle. Like, you have to have faith. You have to trust in God that he's going to do something amazing. As it says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't know when God is going to make the decision to heal you. You don't know when God's going to be like, okay, you've done enough, you're done. You don't know when that is. And when that time comes, it's going to be an amazing feeling or an amazing breakthrough. But you have to be ready. If you're not ready when God decides to give you that breakthrough, you may not get that breakthrough. As I said before, sometimes the worst situation is the best thing for us. I find myself in the situation that I'm in right now. I'm praying more. I'm reading my Bible more because what is there to do? I can't go to my mom and try to heal her because there's nothing in my power. The only thing I can do is put everything that I have into God. I see my dad who says he's getting up earlier. Well, he is getting up early. He didn't say it. He is getting up earlier and praying and reading his Bible. I see my mom more often not wanting to talk to me because she's downstairs praying or whatever it may be. I am closer to God than I've ever been before. And that's because I have faith and I am believing for a miracle and I believe in that God. And I am believing that through this situation, whether my mom makes it through or not, that my unsaved grandparents, that my unsaved aunt and uncle, and maybe people who have been in this church, who have backslid, or whoever it may be, are going to come back and realize that our God is amazing and he's a miracle worker. We can't lose our faith. We can't lose sight of what we are living for. I went to district conference last year. I went to help with the youth group. Not the youth group. Oh, my goodness. The young, what are they called? Kids? Yeah, the kids. Sorry, losing my mind over here. Help with the kids. And it's the last service, and I can't even tell you what we talked about. That's really bad. God, forgive me. But I remember praying at that service. I'm like, God, I want to see you in a real way. I want to experience you. And that night, I kind of just played it. I was like, okay, it's just a prayer. Like, you know, God will play it through if he wants to. And that night, I went to bed before all of the other teenagers. And I get into my room. I leave the lights on because my roommate's going to come in. And I was on my phone. And next thing I know, I'm waking up. And I'm like, I remember falling asleep. And I, like, Pat next to me. I'm like, where's Cassidy? Like, she's not in here. Why are the lights off? And I was really confused. And I sit up. And all of a sudden in the sky, there's, like, this, like, opening, like, this is, like, opening, like, the ray of sunshine. I was like, what is happening? Like, is the Lord coming? I was really confused. And all of a sudden, this figure starts ascending from this circle in the sky. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I start, like, getting all spiritual, right? Because I thought it was God coming. So I, like, felt, like, repentant. I'm, like, praying, like, Jesus. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. And as I sit up, there's this, I see people who are, like, rushing by and, like, not realizing what is happening. That, like, there's this figure ascending from the sky, and there's just people just, like, rushing by. None of these people have faces. The figure ascending doesn't have a face, and I'm, like, kind of creeped out. I thought it was, well, it is a dream, but I was, like, what's happening? I was really confused. And all of a sudden, this figure gets to Sabu right in front of me. I was, like, what's happening? And he puts his hands to his side. And in his hands, there's perfect circles. I can see straight through them. And at that point, I fell to my knees, and I started praying. I started weeping. And as I opened my eyes, I realized that there is people who are rushing by and not even realizing that God is literally right in front of them. And they're not even paying attention. And I'm like, start screaming. I'm like, you guys, God's right here. Look. And no one was looking. And I was like getting frustrated. And Jesus said, I did this for you. At that point, I wake up. But those thoughts are still in my mind. I did this for you. He did this for us. He died on a cross. He was crucified. He shed his blood. He was made fun of and criticized. But yet, we can be too ashamed to live our lives full of him. But yet, we are too ashamed to walk in our high schools or walk in our works and not show who God really is. I think about what God did for us, and I think, how could I not believe this? How can I think of this situation, but yet be doing something that's ungodly? I don't understand. I don't know. We can't lose sight of what it is. We cannot lose our faith. We need to continue to have that faith and trust in God's plan. Because no matter what, like I said before, no matter what, God knows the beginning to the end. And he'll help you through. You may get to the bottom of bottoms and you have absolutely nowhere to go. You have God, and God's going to help you no matter what. We never know the time nor day when God is going to come. You don't know when God is going to take you. He could decide to take you before you get home. He could decide to take you tomorrow, 10 years, whenever he decides to take you. I don't know. But you have to be ready no matter what. I think about my dad. How he woke up one day to go play some football with some guys. And little did he know, half of that game, he falls over dead. No pulse, no heartbeat for 25 minutes. He did not wake up that morning knowing, oh, I'm going to die today. I have to make sure I'm right with God. Read his Bible, whatever. No, God decided to take him. Thankfully, he brought him back, which is an amazing miracle. Hallelujah. That's faith right there. That's a faith builder. Amen. But anyways, sorry. I don't know where it was. Oh, but you have to be ready. You don't know. You can't be living on the middle. There has to be there's a fine line. You're either in or you're out. You can't, when God comes and you're living on the edge, probably not going to make it. I mean, I'm not the judge, so I don't know. But if you can come to church and you can pray and you can lift your hands and you can have a relationship with God. But if that doesn't be taken out into the real world, what's the point? You can be the craziest Christian in church, doing whatever you want. But if you go out in the world and you're doing the most ungodly things, what's the point? You have to act the same as you act in church, act out in the world. When you get to heaven and you hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, that's the only thing you're going to be caring about at that point. You're not going to be thinking about that boy or that girl who was making fun of you for dressing weird or acting weird. You're not going to care about them, because when you get there, the only thing that's going to matter is the fact that you're in heaven and you're going to spend eternity with God. I remember in high school, which wasn't that long ago, but I remember. I act like it was a long time ago or something, but it wasn't. But when I was in high school, I remember, like, I didn't get invited to all the parties. I didn't get invited to every time my friends hung out. I didn't do this or I didn't do that. And one time, just out of curiosity, because I'm a nosy person sometimes, I went up to one of my friends and I said, why don't you guys invite me to these things? And she said, it's because we know you won't come. And I was a little bit like, oh, that's kind of rude. Like, okay. But then she... And then she explained to me, we know you're different. We know you don't do the things that we do. So if we invite you, you're not going to come. And it took me a little bit not to be offended. But then I realized it's the fact that they realize that I'm different. The fact that they realize that I'm not going to go do the things that they're going to do. And that's okay. And I'm fine with that. Eternity is such a real thing. And sometimes it scares me because I guess for me, maybe you can, I don't know. I can't fathom like what forever means. Because like here on earth, one day we're all going to die. Hate to break it to you, but your wonderful life is, you're going to die someday. And you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Those are your two options. There's not some in-between place for those living on the edge people. There's heaven or there's hell. And I can say this, because it's in the Bible, that if you don't make it to heaven and you end up in hell, which is a terrifying thing, it terrifies me. But if you end up in hell, you can't be there for 5 minutes and then make a decision. Okay, God, I'm ready to make a decision to go to heaven. That doesn't happen. You have to be ready when God takes you. If you're not ready, you're too late and there's nothing that you can do about it. Therefore, you have to be ready. And like I said before, you don't know when God's coming. So you need to be ready 24/7 all the time. And as Sister Oliver was talking about on Sunday night, be a weird Christian. I like that. Don't be ashamed of who God is. Like, there's people in your high school. There's people at your workplace. There's people walking down the street. You don't even know who God is. And you have what they need. You have the situation, or you have the answer to their situation. Go up to them. If God is leading you to someone to talk to them, go talk to them. You may be the only person that will ever talk to them about God. You don't know the situation. You may think, God, I can't talk to them. I don't know them. I don't know what's going on. If God tells you to talk to someone, he's going to like give you the words to say and he's going to help you. And they may not come to church right away and get the Holy Ghost and be on fire for God. But that is a seed planted in their life. You don't know. You don't know the situation. Maybe they've already been to a Pentecostal church and they have questions, and you just talking to them about it is opening up another door. So I challenge you tonight. Don't be for sale. Make the decision that you're going to live for God no matter what. No matter what anyone at your school place says, no matter what anyone at your workplace, no matter what anyone says, because the only thing that matters in the end is your relationship with God. Because when you get to heaven, it's between you and God. And God's not going to just be right for God, and you won't have any issues. Do not lose that faith. If you're going to stay strong, remember that God knows the beginning from end. I think about my mom, and I'm like, I could not imagine my life without my mom. She's the strongest woman I know. She is my rock. When I need something, goodness gracious, I could not be my mother because I'm crazy sometimes. I could not imagine my life without her. But then I realize God knows what he's doing, and it's so hard for me, and it's so hard for my family to go through this. But I realize God knows what he's doing. God knows. Why am I afraid? Put your faith, love, everything you possibly can into God's hands, and he will help you make it through. Amen.
That was incredible. That was awesome. Amen. The next young person I get to introduce today is Mr. Colin Trinikowski, and I said his name correct. That was pretty good. And he's also another young man that I've been lucky enough to spend some time with, and he is the epitome of a Christian young man. He has always, anytime I've hung around him, I don't know if I've, my daughter wants to say hi to him. He has, you know, been a good example to my young son, and anytime I've hung around him, he has been a godly example. I've hung around a lot of young people in my lifetime, and there's some knuckleheads out there, a lot of knuckleheads out there. But Colin, even in his youthness, has always been, in my opinion, on fire for God, and he's always been committed to the things of God. No matter what situation has been thrown at him in life, he has stayed committed and stayed faithful, and I know that he has a word from God tonight. So I'd like to introduce Mr. Colin Trinikowski.
Thank you for those kind words, I think. Anyway, I'd like to start off actually with a story. I was 1 year away from youth group when the mantle was passed from Phil to Carl. So Carl's been my youth pastor up until now, and now I get to witness Carl to James. As you can probably tell, there's only me and Sarah that are seniors, so there's kind of a mantle that's being passed in our youth group, too, because we have a ton of young people that are coming into our youth group, a bunch of 12-year-olds. And so, yeah, once we're gone, that's it. Anyway. But this year at senior camp, there was something a little bit different. It's the first time that I went that we didn't have any youth workers go. There was no James or Jordan on sanitation, wherever he is. So it was kind of just us up there. And I was like, well, Sarah's not here, so I'm the only senior. So I kind of took it upon myself to kind of gather up the young people at altar and be like, we're going to pray together. And I did one night, and I was kind of like, okay, guys, this is what God told me. Altar, we pray together. And I was kind of like, have a fun night. But Dara grabbed a couple of guys and said, no, I'm not finished. I want to keep praying. I don't want to lose the spirit. And she gathered up a handful of guys, and she started praying. And I was watching this, and I'm kind of like, well, God, you know, what's going to happen to our youth group after I'm gone and in 1 year, Justin? What's going to happen? And I saw that, and that was amazing because God was telling me, it's in good control. It's in good hands. It's going to be fine. So I just wanted to talk about that. But yeah, as you can see, our theme is not for sale, so I'd like to start off with a story from Acts 3 verses 1 through 9. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms, or free handout. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, watch this closely, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising, not just walking, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. There's not a monetary price that you can put on this Holy Ghost. It's a God-given gift. He paid the price once. He paid the price for all. Now, other people can also see that power. And in Acts 4, 1 through 3, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So I think we all know the Sadducees, the Holy Ghost police, as Sister Oliver called them on Sunday night. They see what we have, and they know that they can't buy it, they can't get it, so they're going to try to limit it. They're going to try to suppress it. It's coming. It is, like Sarah said, our world is whack. It's coming. But, as we know, God is always faithful. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. So there's not a monetary price you can pay for that. But there is still a price, and that leads me to my title, Not for Sale, Yet Still a Price. This power, we can't pay for it, but it's definitely not free. There's a daily devotion that we have to go through. We have to know God for ourselves. And if I can have Brian and Justin come up, these beautiful young men. So Brian's going to represent the world and everything that is bad, all the people of the world, and Justin is going to represent God. Anyway, so let's just say Brian only knows what Justin looks like. Not really coming to church, doesn't really know God. But I'm in the church, and I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to be out there witnessing to people. How am I supposed to tell Brian what he's like if I don't even know him for myself? Yeah, he's this pretty tall basketball player, we think. But what about him? What is he like? Pre-spiced shredded Mexican cheese? Only? No sauce. His favorite brand is Nike. These are the things I know because this is my best friend, and I've developed a relationship with him. But how am I supposed to pass that on if I'm not, if I don't talk to him, you know, on a daily basis? How? Thank you, gentlemen. But there is a price, and it's that daily devotion. And for those of you that are worried about what other people think, can I just tell you, this came across my mind, and I was like, wow, God didn't call you to be normal. We always like to say, well, God called me to do this, God called me to do that, and that's awesome. He has, many are called, but few are chosen. God's called everybody. God's called everyone in this room. But we're not supposed to fit in. It's like Sister Albert. We're an alien. We're not supposed to be of this world. It's when we start fitting in with this world that we should start getting worried. Because we're a light in the darkness, right? And when we start to dim and start to become like the darkness, we have a problem. But never fear. Matthew 11:30 says, For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God loved us. God loved us so much that he went through that horrible death once because he would rather suffer that than have eternity without us. Why did God make man? Because he created everything. He spoke the world into existence. He spoke animals. There was still an emptiness in his heart for us. Sometimes the devil tries to lie to us and say that we're the only person to make a mistake. Oh, that sin you committed, that's too great. That's unforgivable. No, God died for all sins. He covered everything with his blood. If we were the only person on earth that made that mistake, Christ would not have changed anything. He would have still died, and he still would have rose. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." We have been set apart as holy because Jesus Christ did what God wanted to do by sacrificing his body once and for all. He went through it once. And that price, that tells us that we're not for sale. He paid that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, my favorite verse in the Bible, is 1 Peter 2:9. "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We're not supposed to blend in. I'm a tall, lanky white kid. I know a thing or two about not fitting in with a crowd. But the devil's going to still come to us. He's going to try to buy it with things that don't matter, temporal things. Because there's one thing that he's after. He's not after us coming to church. He's not. We can come 3 days a week and still not have a connection. We can. We can be up here, we can be singing, we can be playing, we can even be preaching and still not have a connection with him. So Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." What he's after is exactly what Sarah talked about. He's after our faith. The one thing he knows that he can't get, the one thing he didn't have because he got kicked out of heaven because he lost sight and he got so prideful. So I'd just like to close with a story from Genesis 25:29-34. "And Jacob sowed pottage," or soup, "and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am to the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." This youth group used to be a lot bigger when I came in, and there were supposed to be more seniors with me. And that really saddens me because they sold it. They sold what they had. They sold their faith. They said, "You know what, this, it's not worth it. I'd rather have that than this." And it's smaller. And one of my closest friends, we all know Sister Marietta Hudson, her grandson Ray was one of my closest friends when I first got in the youth group. And he's not here today. I still see him every now and then, but he chose to walk away because he said it's not worth it. I'd rather be like them and be normal and fit in than be set apart. So I just want to challenge you that protect the faith that you've been given. Defend it. Don't sell it. People left because they gave up. They sold it. That's what the devil is after. He's going to buy your faith, your holiness, your power. He's going to offer up things of this world that are going to fade away to get a hold of your eternity. Show him. Show him every time he comes knocking. It's not for sale. I can't be tempted with it. One of the scariest plays by Jordan and Dan Powell, which Brian had the privilege of being Satan in, I've chosen. I'm not going to be one of Hell's Trophies. All those people that were Hell's Trophies, they sold it. They lost it. They lost sight of what was important. They gave up. And look where they are, being dragged by chains because the devil said, "I got you." So please, don't let it be for sale.
Amen. Hallelujah. "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul, to sell his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" Your soul is being bartered for right now. And this is, we're closing, so you can come up to the keyboard. But your soul is being bartered for right now. There's little seeds that have been dropped into your head. Oh, this is just the musings of teenagers. This is not the musings of teenagers. Sarah and Colin have voiced what God is trying to tell us here today, and that is we are not for sale. I think that is so awesome. So awesome. Sometimes we like to give God this aspect or that aspect. "Hey, I'll give you this, but I won't give you this. I'll sell this, but not this. This isn't for sale. I'm going to keep this to myself," instead of totally selling out to God. When we keep it back and we hold it out there and see what the devil has in his pretty little basket of golden things and say, "Hey, you know, what would you trade for this? What would you trade for this?" All he wants us is to be sold out, to put a not for sale sign on everything in our life, on every aspect of our life. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So that's what he's going to give you. When you hold back and when you go, hey, devil, what would you give me for this aspect? My free time. I don't get much free time. What would you give me for my free time? The devil will give you this awesome, cool deal that'll be glittery and shiny. But in the end, it says that the wages of sin is death. Like Colin said, your soul is priceless and it is not for sale. We can all stand. It starts at this altar, but it gets real when you leave this building. Right now in our minds, we're all thinking, yeah, I have a not for sale sign on my life. I'm sold out. I'm ready to go. But when we leave this building and we go to work tomorrow, we go to school tomorrow, then we kind of wonder, it's a new day. Do I really want to put the sign out? Do I really want to make the statement? Do I really want to make a fool of myself? For those who are wondering what I'm talking about, being sold out, having a not for sale sign on your life and how much it costs. Well, God has paid the price for your soul when his perfect and flawless life was sacrificed on a cross. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. God wants us to crave after it. And when he got it, you know, he sold everything he had. Everything in his possession, he sold it. And when he got that pearl, he got it and said, not for sale. Not for sale. Everything that I had, I went to purchase this pearl. This wonderful relationship that Sarah and Colin were talking about. And this isn't for sale. Homeless, penniless man, but he's got his pearl. We got our relationship. For those who are wondering what this relationship is, we sing songs about being free. Because God has paid the price already. He says, I was the price. I was the cost. And my gift is not for sale. It's a gift. It's free. It's not for sale. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to drag a cross up Calvary. You don't have to endure the mocking and the teasing and the spitting and the nails and the crown of thorns. Because I did that for you. And I'm presenting it to you as a gift. It's not for sale. Acts 8:18-19 talks about a man that saw the Holy Ghost being poured out and said, hey, what can I give for that? Here, I got my wallet. Take my wallet, whatever you want. This is cool what you're doing. This tongues things, this spirit, this feeling that you're selling. Hey, take my wallet. I want this thing. And they turned to him and said, No. You can't buy this. You can't buy this. It's free. But like Colin was talking about, it'll cost you. It'll cost you. You ask anyone who's been sold out and set a not for sale sign on their life, hey, how's it been? How have the last couple decades been, James, Brian, Colin? Not a one person will go, oh, God cheated me. You know, I should have changed my mind. No. This comes with no regrets. You're sold out. You're penniless, but you got your pearl. You got your pearl of great price. And no one can take that away from you as long as you have a not for sale sign out. All he asks is that we be sold out. And tell the devil, not even politely, not for sale. Not for sale. In big capital letters, my life is not for sale. My soul is not for sale. I am sold out. I have my pearl. Thank you very much. Continue on the way. There is nothing this world can offer that is anything compared to your soul. Sold out for Jesus Christ. So for those of you today willing to start that journey that starts here, and it continues on in tomorrow. I invite you to this altar. Make sure, go through each section of your life. Hey, am I sold out in this area? Am I sold out in this area? You know, I'm sold out in my free time. I spend time with God in my free time. But at work, am I sold out? Am I not for sale at work? Or does sometimes he give me a little bit at work? You know, if I would just alter my talking, alter my presentation, alter my strong stance on something at work. Could I sneak in that promotion? I'm here to tell you, I am not for sale. And I will not compromise. So I invite you that have those not for sale signs, come and search your heart. Make sure every aspect is not for sale. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, come to this altar and find someone to pray with. and ask them, hey, how do I acquire these not for sale signs? How do I get this gift? In Jesus' name.
Surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you.
He's calling on you right now.
Everything
He's saying, I have something so special for you. If you'll choose me, if you'll leave it all behind,
withholding nothing,
you'll let everything else go and choose me. I have
nothing,
such great things for you.
Withholding nothing,
God's calling some of you right now.
Withholding nothing.
People in your life who need salvation, who need healing, and you're going to be the person that God uses if you're willing to sell yourself out to Him. If you're willing to give everything, tell this world, tell your own fleshly desires, no, I'm not for sale. Come on, make that commitment tonight. A life can change on a Wednesday night. The path can change on a Wednesday night. Some of you young people have been debating whether or not this is going to be the life for you. Maybe when I'm older, I might do something else. I'm telling you right now, hear from these young people who lived it. Do not put yourself up for sale. Trust that God has something amazing for you.
I surrender all to you.
If we could have the church out there, if you see someone down here that needs prayer, if you see a young person that could use some encouragement, I want you to come down here. Some of us are making commitments tonight. If you could come down here and encourage them. Come help them on this decision. Pray with them. They need your covering. They need your prayers.